Welcome to church. And it is still raining, and we love to see that. Love the answered prayers. We've been praying for rain, except for, you know, those people that need to be doing stuff outside, you know, like our painters and whatever. But otherwise, it's really good for the crops so that we can afford to pay painters. Exactly. You know, we've been squirreling around in Psalm 119 for a number of weeks, but we've had a lot of interruptions, and today is going to be another one of those interruptions. If you were here last Sunday, our teens shared, and that's not even the right word for it. They poured out their, opened up their spirits and poured, like, just saying that the teens shared is just, that's like saying, you know, right? Philistine giant was a big guy, you know, whatever. Like, they just poured out their hearts, and the Spirit of God moved, and I'm praying that lives were touched and changed. We had messages afterwards, because we had the kids. If you weren't here, we had the kids pray for people. They didn't even know that they were going to be praying for people, and I said, hey, you guys don't know this, but you're going to be praying for people at the altar call today. And so people came up for prayer, and we got messages from some of you folks afterwards. Oh, the things that they prayed over me were, like, I didn't share anything with them, and it was exactly what was in my heart, just one after another. And do you believe that anyone can hear from the Lord? Come on. You don't have to be 50, right? You don't have to be a pastor. You need one qualification, be in Christ, right? Be in Christ. And then Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And we can learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. And they just, I was amazed at some of the things that people wrote back. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. So thank you guys for that. But today, the seed of this message started, youth, this started from Pastor Adam. So you might recognize a couple of these verses and stuff. I think it was Monday night, Pastor Adam was sharing up there. And I just started writing stuff down. And I'm like, gosh, this is just stirring in my heart. So this has been stirring in my heart. This was my message from last week, and it didn't go away. So it's your message this week, too. But you don't know that. So this starts with the parable that... Oh, wait. You got to put your little clicker. I got to put the... What is a doodad? Is that what you said? You got to put the doodad in the thing there. You start with the parable of the mustard seed. Parable of the mustard seed. Aspen preached on this, I don't know, 6 months ago or 8 months ago, powerful. I was cleaning my bathroom the other day, and I found my, like, what is that? And it was my little packet with the mustard seed in it, and I'd kept it just to make sure when I was getting ready, and it got stuck underneath something, but I still have my little mustard seed that Aspen was preaching about, and it comes from this parable. And so Jesus is saying in Mark chapter 4, so we're in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to talk a little bit about a series of events that happened in Mark chapter 4, and I hope that this stirs your heart as it's stirring mine today. And Jesus said, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Say, kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about here. Jesus is trying to take a concept that he talks about almost more than anything else, the kingdom of God, or if you're in the Gospel of Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven, but it's the same thing. I don't know if you remember that or not from our series a little while ago, but it's the kingdom of God. It's the rule and reign and implementation of heaven's values on earth. It's this rule of God. Wow. The louder I preach, the more it rains. It's good for a little bit, I guess. And so Jesus is trying to take this concept that they don't necessarily have a, because they're all, right, they're all Hebrews, and God's saying a lot in the Old Testament, is saying a lot of, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and don't touch the mountain when it's smoking because you'll die, and whatever. And now Jesus is bringing this concept of God's rule and reign in our life, this kingdom of God. And they didn't really, and we don't really sometimes have kind of an understanding of it, a paradigm for it. So he tells them a parable. He takes something that they knew to explain something that they didn't know. So he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? So this is all about the kingdom of God here. Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. He's talking about the kingdom of God. You got that so far? He's talking about the kingdom of God. Anybody here when Aspen preached and got a little mustard seed? Anybody get a little mustard seed? Anyone seen a mustard seed before? Yeah? And what he's saying is, in this mustard seed, it's easy to overlook it. It's easy to say it's insignificant. It's easy to think it's small and non-consequential. We'll just make a new word, right? If I can't figure out the right ones, we'll make up new ones. Teachers are just shaking their head at me. But it's easy to take this mustard seed, and this is what Jesus is trying to, there's a bunch of lessons in here, but one of them is it would be easy if there was a mustard seed laying on the ground right here. I should have put one out because none of you would have noticed it. Well, some of you would have, but the guys wouldn't have. Hey, look at that. There's one right back there. Jill's got one right there because she's holy, right? So you wouldn't even give it a second thought if you seen it laying on the ground. But if all of a sudden in the middle of the sidewalk, there's a tree big enough for birds to perch in, you would notice that, wouldn't you? That really would affect your life in walking down that sidewalk. And that's what Jesus is trying to get at. Don't overlook the power of the kingdom of God. Don't overlook the ability of this mustard seed to affect and influence and transform your life. So often, oh, that was great. The kids went to camp. Oh, it wasn't that nice. Well, they'll fizzle out later. And I said, no, don't underestimate what's in that seed to grow. Don't underestimate something that looks so insignificant. I'm not a subtle guy often. My wife is laughing at that. But if I get a new piece of, you can't see this, but my guitar equipment down here, you know, here's one of my pedal boards. You know, when I get something like that, and this has happened all the time, I get a new piece of equipment, I immediately, or if we get a new motorcycle or a motor, he puts in motors because he keeps blowing up motors, so then we put new motors in because then we blow up motors, and we put new, which he, fortunately, he's got an ability to get cheap motors, and he has great mechanic skills, and he's learning lots along the way. But what do you want to know as soon as you put that motor in and you start that thing up? What's one of the first things you want to know? Oh, you know, you're just not saying it. He's like, what? He wants me to give the right answer here. Yeah, right. You want to know how fast it's going to go. See them? They're all like, yeah, of course, that's what we want to know. I want to know how loud it is. What are the limits of this thing? And same thing with my pedals. I want to know what's the loudest distortion that we got on there, whatever. And so I've done a little bit of recording over the years. And so that's often it's a compounded effect of lots of little subtle things that makes a recording really good. But if I'm going to put reverb on, I put it, you know, like, let's really tell that there's an effect on there or some distortion or whatever it is. And so it's often not subtle. But what I'm saying is that many things in your life that are transformational, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God, are subtle. And then they have these profound effects on your life. Walking in humility doesn't seem like it affects anything. And all of a sudden, God starts fighting for you and opens up things in your life that you would never attain if had you not walked in humility. Praying. Well, I prayed, but I need to do something real. Anyone ever thought that? Don't raise your hand. But it's subtle. It's this small thing. And here's what Jesus is saying about this seed. It's small. It seems insignificant. But the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is a lot of seemingly insignificant things that end up being tremendously large and have the ability to affect your life and the lives of those around you. And he's saying when you pull out this little mustard seed, everything for a massive tree is inside there. I love the old illustration from the 1800s, some preacher talking about the acorn. And this is not an oak nut. It's not a seed. It's a forest. In here is the DNA of a forest. One little acorn. It's a forest. It's trees and children of trees and children of children of trees, right? That's all locked up in that. And he said that's what the kingdom of God is like. So in this little insignificant moment, this little God encounter, this little answered prayer, this little change of heart, inside of that seed is the DNA for entire transformation of lineages and generations and families and relationships and destinies. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Has anyone ever struggled? But once or twice a year, I go out back here with my screw gun, and I take about 32 screws out of the air conditioner unit because it's all clogged up. You know what it's clogged up with? Cottonwoods. I love the trees. They're so majestic, and they're full of stupid cotton, right? Anyone ever had cottonwood, cotton all over? A few years ago, we finally bought a leaf blower for the church because it would look like a blizzard here. And it would just be drifts out there. If you've been coming here for more than 5 years, you remember the drifts, the cottonwood drifts that we had out front. Now we can blow that away. But that stuff clogs up stuff. Well, those seeds, yeah, they're big poofy, but the seed on that thing is this little, tiny, teeny little seed. But inside of it is the potential and not just potential. If it gets planted, it will grow into this huge, massive tree. So when I was younger, I had to work on the farm when I was younger. My parents were mean. They made me weed the garden, and I don't even like vegetables. That's kind of the irony of that whole story. But I did grow watermelons, and I liked watermelon. All my years, I got one watermelon. Yeah, I was not a successful gardener, and I was not a persistent gardener, but I showed up a little bit. And so one time when I was weeding next to my watermelon patch, there was a tiny little tree, and it was a little cottonwood tree. And I tugged and pulled, and one of you, I think Mom came out of the house, and I'm like, I can't get this out. And I had both hands, and I was yanking on it, and you're like, just leave it. It's right in the middle of the garden. Just leave it. And we had posts in and wires around the garden. I mean, it was a big garden. Well, lo and behold, you know, kids get older, move out of the house. They don't have free labor anymore. And so now move the garden. Put it in beds because we're not as young as we used to be. And work smarter, not harder. So now the garden is yard. And so I did not get permission for this, Father dearest. And so you're in the spotlight today, and I just apologize for that, but not really. So that's the tree now. That's where the garden was. And that's that little tree that at 13 years old or whatever, there's my dad pushing Callie on the swing, the tree right behind him. That's that little cottonwood tree. Jesus is like, how can I teach you about the kingdom of God and the potential for the kingdom of God, the rule and reign and manifestation of Christ's power in your life in a way that it would make sense? Oh, yeah, a mustard seed. That would have been really common. For us, cottonwood seed. We have very, very few mustard trees around here, the kind that they had in the Near East. But we do have cottonwoods. Go peel the little fluffs off of one of those cottonwood seeds and see how small that cottonwood seed is. And then look at what is inside. That's what's inside of that cottonwood seed. So we go back to Mark chapter 4, and we read about the parable of the mustard seed. And so right before the mustard seed is the parable of the growing seed. We're going somewhere with this. I want you to see a pattern of things that are going on. And so here's this parable. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is right before the mustard seed one. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And then right before that, he talks about the lamp on the stand, right? Giving light to everyone and increasing in its effectiveness. And right before that, he talks about the sower and the seed and the four soils. So Mark chapter 4 starts with the sower and the seeds and the four soils. And do you guys remember that parable? We're not going to read it. But the farmer goes out and he sows seed. Some lands on the path and the birds eat it up. Some lands on rocky ground. Some lands and sprouts up and looks really good, but then it gets choked out by thistles and thorns, and right? And then some lands on good soil and it produces 30, 60, or 100 times. That's that parable. That's what the chapter opens up with. And he said, what should we say the kingdom of God is like? So all through this, we're seeing that the seed is growing and increasing, and that it's easy to underestimate the potential of that seed. Go back to the mustard seed parable one more time, and let me look at one line in here. It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. Yet, when planted, come on, church, when planted, the only way for the potential of that mustard seed to reach its potential is for it to be planted. And we read in the rest of those that the soil is our hearts. It's us. Look at somebody, say, it's you. That didn't sound very convincing. Look at someone else, say, no, it's you. Come on. The kingdom of God is great, but it wants to be within us and among us. It wants to be planted. Tell somebody else, planted. It needs to be planted. Yet when planted, it grows. It's like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Yet when planted, the word of God and the seed of God needs to get planted in our hearts and take root in our lives. And then that tiny little thing, that tiny little God encounter, that tiny little moment, that tiny little act of obedience turns into this massive thing that starts to affect not only your life, but other people's lives. Are you with me so far? Okay, it needs to get planted. There has to be this action where it gets planted. So Jesus is teaching all of his disciples, right? He's teaching them. He's talking to the crowds in parables. He pulls the disciples aside later and explains some of the parables to them. But they kind of finish up this teaching session, and then they get to this part here. Jesus calms the storm. So this is in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. So that's where we're going to read now. That day, when evening came, so that day, as he was teaching all these parables about the seeds inside of your heart and the light of God flowing out of you and increasing, he said, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were all the other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? Don't we always think we know God's motives? Hey, you don't care, right? You guys ever been in a hard time and you just attributed a lack of caring to God? Don't confuse God's inactivity and his ability to sleep in the midst of trouble with an uncaring heart. Take it as he knows the beginning from the end, and he knows exactly what you need when you need it. Goes on to say, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? You still have no faith. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus had spent all this time trying to get the vision that this mustard seed has way more in it than you even can understand. And that's exactly what was going on. He's like, come on, you little mustard seeds. You need to let this kingdom of God grow up inside of you so that you can see what's going on here. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? What he was talking about is, what is the environment inside of you? What is the atmosphere of your soul? You pull open your spirit and look inside, and he's going, why is there still fear in there? Why is there unbelief in there? I've given you the tools. Plant that seed of the kingdom of God and let that grow inside of you. And why Jesus was able, this is kind of what Pastor Adam was hinting at earlier this week or last week, that Jesus was able to talk to the waves because what was on the inside of him was bigger than what was going on the outside of him. The kingdom of God inside of him, the waves were no match for that. And we can go out and we can scream at the waves and we can jump up and down at the waves and we can pray about the waves, which is a good thing to do. But Jesus was able to speak to the waves because what was on the inside of him was bigger than what was going on the outside of him. And that's what he was challenging the disciples with about the mustard seed. About the mustard seed. So we're talking about enlarging and expanding today. We've got to enlarge and expand what's going on inside of us. And it's easy for us to enlarge. How many of you have ever started out with a thought and got a little concerned, and by 4 hours later, you were in full-blown fear and anxiety? Right? You know very well what it is to enlarge and expand. You have the ability to do this principle. It's a lot of times when I preach stuff like this, I get that kind of look. Pastor Fearing always talked about it. You know, like calves looking at a new gate, right? I get that look. And it's not that you lack the skills, you lack the direction. Okay? You know how to do this. You know how to take a thought and expand it into a full-blown story that you're completely immersed in, that I'm pretty sure this is going to happen in my life and it is going to be so horrible. Oh man, you just don't even know. Well, did they actually say that? Well, no, but I know what they meant and I'm pretty sure, right? And you've all crafted those things and you've watched it grow. We're built to expand those things, just not the flesh and demonic side of things. But we love doing that. But we spend little time on the kingdom side of things. And that's what Jesus was trying to get at. If we pull the curtains back on your heart and soul, what's inside of there? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? Why aren't you planting that mustard seed and let the kingdom of God enlarge inside of you? So right in the middle of Mark chapter 4, again, where we just have read, I just want to show you, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given what? More. Increase. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Let's look at this on the, we've already kind of talked about one version of it. Let's look at this on the evil side. In Matthew 12, Jesus is sharing a story, and he's teaching them. He said, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, and we've cast demons out of people before, and we cast demons out of homes before, and but when it comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And it's not talking about like a house. It's talking about the person. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes, and it takes with it seven other spirits more wicked. Say more. More wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. And that's if you try to get things in order without putting the Lordship of Jesus in your life. And so I just wanted to take kind of two sides of that equation and show you that you're built for increase. You're built for more. You're built to expand on the inside. And so often we just get shriveled up and we let the things of the flesh and the things of the demonic realm, we let those expand. But Jesus is saying, come on, mustard seeds, we need to get you planted and we need this kingdom of God to grow inside of you. All right, here we go. God is big. God is, amen? God is big. God has more power than you will ever need for any situation at any time, anywhere. Amen? God is able to heal the sick and raise the dead. Amen? God's able to intervene at a time when you don't even know that you need him to intervene. Amen? God's able to save to the uttermost. Amen? We're trying. We're getting there. God is able to do immeasurably above what we can ask, think, or imagine. God is big. He's not lacking in strength. He's not lacking in knowledge. He's not lacking in authority. He's not lacking in ability. Do you agree with that, yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Are you awake, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, good. So God is big. But here's the part we struggle with inside of you. That's the part that we struggle with. I have no problem believing that God's big inside that other preacher that preaches amazing and sees people saved and healed. I have no problem believing that God is big inside of that prayer group over there. Well, they never even sleep. They just pray 24/7. Yeah, God's big inside of them. And is God big? Absolutely. I agree 100%. But is God big inside of you? Well, listen, Pastor, see, I was just out doing chores. You got to understand. No, God is big inside of you. Inside of you. And that's what we struggle with. So let's jump to Ephesians quick, and let's just pick through a couple things here. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably, this is Ephesians 3, starting at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all... I got one quote here. The guy by the name of Joe, it says, what I have asked for is as nothing compared to the ability of my God to give. I've asked for a cupful and the ocean remains. I've asked for a sunbeam and the sun abides. My best asking falls immeasurably short of my Father's giving. It's beyond all that we can ask. So this God is able to do it. God's huge. God's big. God does big things, right? Yeah. Amen? I think I've lost most people now. God is able to do big things, right? Yes. Okay. Thank you for humoring me and at least waking up long enough to say yes one more time. God is able to do these big things. Let's jump back to Ephesians chapter 3 again. So immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power. It's his power. It's his strength. So God can do all these things according to what? According to his power, right? According to God's eternal strength that is unchanging, immutable. Like it is. You cannot affect it. It's God's power. So he's able to do all of this according to his power that's at work within us. I want you to see what this is saying here. This according to, it's like linking those things. So God is able to do beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine. He's able to do beyond the biggest thing that you could think of. Not just because he's big and powerful. Look at what the verse is saying here. According to his power that's at work within us. Allowing the kingdom of God to increase within you and cultivating that and letting that grow is the measure to which God's power is beyond your imagination. According to the power, he's able to do what you can beyond what you can ask or even imagine. According to what? According to the power at work in you. Well, I don't know that I've got any power at work in you. Then you're not going to see the immeasurably beyond what you can ask, think, or imagine at work in your life. Well, that seems not fair. Jesus gave you a pattern. And now I will say God is sovereign. He can do what he wants when he wants, and you'll get to see that. But as far as the pattern that he's teaching here, he's saying, if you surrender and cultivate by faith this kingdom of God growing inside of you, you're going to see far more than you ever would if you sit idly by and go, yep, God's big and strong, and I believe that. Just letting that process. I know I'm throwing a bunch of stuff out at you quick here. What I'm saying is that according to the measure that his power is working in us, he can do immeasurably more. According to that power, according to the power within you, he's able to do more. So to the degree, imagine this. Imagine if Stan and Marilyn and Aspen and Marnie and Marilyn and Mary and Dave and James and Curtis and Larry and Jem and right all the way through. Imagine if every single one of us cultivated the power of God within us. We did what needed to be done. We stretched and we grew. Imagine when we came to church what kind of power of God that we would see. Do you see what I'm getting at? As we allow that to grow inside, remember all the stuff that we read before, Jesus was able to calm that storm because he spent all that time teaching those parables about planting the seed, the stalk and the head and the kernel, the mustard seed. It's all going to grow into something that's larger than what you even can imagine. The DNA of that is in there. He can do immeasurably more. And then I want to turn your attention back to Mark chapter 4 again. We read this already, but when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. And at the end of Mark chapter 4, we read this already with the storm. I never saw this before. I had never seen this before. Look at that. There were other boats with him. I had never noticed that. Jesus went in a boat across the ocean there, or whatever, the lake, and the squall came up and he's like, we're going to die. I never noticed this. There were also other boats with him. People that may or may not have been a part of his group, or they were just following him for whatever reason, there were other boats with him. Jesus's ability to cultivate this kingdom of God inside of him and grow his faith and let God increase, and the atmosphere inside of his soul was one of God is able. He had cultivated that and built that enough to where he could sleep in the middle of a storm, and the disciples attributed it to him not caring. It wasn't him not caring. It was him not needing. He didn't need to do anything until that moment. So he gets up, calms the storm. Guess who else benefited from that? The other boats that were with him. What would have happened to those other boats had Jesus not gotten woken up and calmed that storm? He didn't just calm the storm for the disciples. And the power of God that answers your prayers and moves in you doesn't just work just for you. It's an overflow to everyone around you. When your life starts moving in miracles and being transformed in ways that you can't even imagine, and your family gets transformed, just imagine, there's other boats with you. There's other boats with you. Come on, church, there's other boats with you. There's boats at work. There's boats at school. There's boats at family gatherings. There's other boats that are chugging along in life with you, and they're going to experience the overflow of God's blessing in your life as you amp up what God's doing inside of your own heart. All of a sudden, there's other boats. What, little me? That's great. I'm sure you're like, you've been preaching that way quite a bit. You're not like, no one over here thinks this is for them, right? No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. And I want to get, this is also from Pastor Adam. And I just, this floored me. I had never really thought about this before. So in Mark chapter 5, this is the very next story after Jesus calms the storm, gets to the other side, and what happens? Mark chapter 5, crying out with a loud voice. This is a guy who was demonized, right? They tried to bind him up with chains, and he was so strong that he would break chains, metal chains. He would break chains, cut himself, right? What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us into the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. One man had enough evil potential in him to cause 2,000 pigs to commit suicide. One man, one person, one individual. I did a little math. Seems like the amount of square feet that you need to haul a pig to a sale barn in a trailer is less than you'd need to raise them at the farm. I was pretty smart. I figured that out. And in the article that I read, it gave me a certain amount of square feet. And so I just roughly estimated the size of this area here. And on a good day, if we squeezed really hard, I think we could get about 600 to 700 pigs in this church right here, kind of in this section. One man, it'd take, nose to tail, shoulder to shoulder pigs, three churchfuls of pigs, send them into a suicidal depression, demonically influenced, jump over the cliff. Three churches full. Bring them in. All right. Bring the hogs in. Fill them up all the way up. All right. Load them out into one section. Bring them in again. Fill this church up three times with pigs. And the demons that were in one man was enough to take 2,000 pigs and send them over to the cliff. Well, I don't know. I'm just little old. You've got enough capacity demonically to affect 2,000 pigs. How much more if it's the Holy Spirit inside of you? I just want you to get a picture of what one person can influence spiritually. Think about that. I had never really thought about that before. One person had that much influence in the demonic realm. Imagine when the Spirit of the living God has full access to our hearts and our spirits and is able to overflow out of that. Mustard seed, come on. Cottonwood, grow inside of me. Kingdom of God, get planted and grow. So, last slide. You guys know what that is? Bread dough, pizza dough. What would happen if I came up and just grabbed a piece and just pulled as hard as I could? What would happen? It would to a certain point. What if I pulled really fast and really hard? It would tear off. Yep. So you notice when they spin those and stretch those, they don't do it just in 3 seconds, right? Spin it around and stretch it, and it'll kind of shrink back up, and they'll tug a little more and tug a little more and tug a little more. Here's what I'm challenging you guys with today. All of these parables talking about the kingdom of God, and that we underestimate what that little seed wants to be inside of us, but you get to decide if that gets planted or not. You get to decide what happens to that seed. You get to decide how much that grows inside of you. And my challenge for you this week is start stretching. Stretch a little, stretch a little. Pull too hard, you're just going to rip the whole thing off. Stretch a little, just stretch a little, just stretch a little, just stretch a little, just stretch it, just tug a little bit, pull a little more, and say, God, what do you want to do in my heart this week? Well, I've never really actually, it's amazing how many adults that we meet that have never prayed for anybody in church, outside of church, in their family, they just get paralyzed. Maybe you could say a little prayer out loud with your own two lips for somebody, like a half a sentence. God bless them in Jesus' name, right? Maybe you could stretch a little bit. Or maybe if you're really comfortable with that, maybe you've never, I don't know, just fill in the blanks here. Maybe you've never fasted a meal for someone before or for a prayer request. Maybe you've never read through the Bible. Maybe you've never, you know, maybe you've never meditated on scripture. Maybe just take a time and just go, all right, God, I want to see this thing expand inside of me. I want to stretch. I want to stretch. I want to stretch. Maybe someone needs you to go serve this week. Find a need and meet it. And just give God permission to grow on the inside of you. Start expecting God things. Start expecting a move of God everywhere that you go. See, this isn't just for camp. It's not just for church. It's for when you're sleeping and catastrophe hits. Jesus wakes up. He's bigger on the inside than that is on the outside. And he says, peace, be still. As you're stretching, as you're growing, as you're praying, as you're worshiping, as you're listening for the voice of the Lord, you're stretching and you're growing and you're stepping out in faith and you're stretching and you're growing. Pretty soon, when you least expect it, a need is going to come up that catches you off guard, but you've been cultivating that, and now you're bigger on the inside than that is on the outside. And your first response will be, all right, let's see what God wants to do here. Amen? When confronted by an impossible situation, your first response, because you're so large on the inside, says, all right, let's see what God wants to do here. Imagine that. How stressful is that? It's not. Doesn't mean we don't need to figure things out, but God's here, God's working, God's moving, and we just start walking in faith. We start walking in faith. So I just challenge you guys, expand, cultivate that. With the fire that God was stirring in the hearts of our kids, like, you have your own God moments. You have your own opportunity to grow and to stretch and to let that mustard tree, to let that cottonwood grow inside of you and become shade for others, become a swing for your grandchildren, right? It gets bigger than just you. Did anyone stay with me all to the end? Okay, all right, let's pray. God, thank you for this group of people. Father, I just pray that your word would stir our hearts, God, and that we would steward our hearts and our spirits to let you, let that seed increase in us. God, thank you that you're taking over territory of our hearts, God. I just pray right now for every person in this place, God, that we would yield and surrender the lands of our heart for you to rule and reign over, and that that would overflow into other people's lives. Thank you that you are giving us great faith. You're increasing our faith. You're increasing our faithfulness, God. And Lord, you want to do great things in these end times, and we just yield our hearts to you today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.